Matthew chapter 6. Right there in the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. We made it down here this morning, left Greenville at 6 a.m. And my GPS, it wants to take you the long way around to get here. And if you come from north, you don't get off the exit, your GPS tells you. And then you come down along 95 and you get a little bit faster, but you can come some of the roads back there. And I even had time to stop at McDonald's before I got here. So, the traffic was moving pretty good. Nobody's out there this morning. But we're glad to be here this morning to be able to share the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6. And it tells us in Matthew 6, in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. So the title of the message this morning is Two Treasures. Two Treasures. Stewardship portfolio, and there's two treasures. So what are the treasures? Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. So there's the second treasure. Treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now, mind you, this was written how many thousands of years ago? And it's still practical for today. And we had the same, pardon me, can I say this? We had the same sticking problem 2,000 years ago, and we're still got it. Because our nature wants to go there and hoard everything. You know, I said before, no one cares if you're the richest man in the cemetery. And so lay not up your treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but lay your treasures up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, else you hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. May God add his blessings to the word. Let's pray and ask God, give us what we need. Father, thank you for this time we can share some truth from thy word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us guidance. Lord, your spirit would give us the message we need. And Lord, you might speak to someone's heart. Lord, many of us probably have it all together, or we think we have it together. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to get wisdom and understanding now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we made it very clear there are two treasures on earth, two treasures. And there's a big difference between both of those. And so the scripture tells us, if you're filling in the blank, treasures on earth and then treasures in heaven. And Jesus taught us that there are definite rewards seen by both. There's rewards for treasures in heaven. There's rewards for treasures here on this earth. And, you know, I told my kids growing up, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. Someone say amen. Because, you know, there are some treasures on earth, but sometimes we got the treasures in the wrong things. I still don't know. I'm not here. I haven't looked out in the parking lot before. I'm going to say this. I don't know why some guys have to spend $60,000, $70,000 a pickup truck and jack it 10 feet in the air to impress somebody. I just don't know why. That's a treasure. I just never felt that way. But I'm not saying I'm not guilty because I got an airplane. Now, preacher, it's a big enough airplane that you and I could fit in it, and I bought it for $2,500. But yeah, it really does fly because Bob Jones redid it. And thank God for men from Bob Jones who took something that was a piece of junk and the ceilings collapsed on it, and we were able to get it and salvage it and got it rebuilt. But there are treasures both places. And I'm sure that you have some practicality for that. Your whatever your big boy toys are, you can say that. Or our case, we want to teach young people how to fly. So young teenagers, I get the teenager in a cockpit, one person, I remember this one. A parent said to me, their son was turning 16 and he's giving him a hard time and he had some failing grades. And the mother said, if I pay you, will you take him up and give him a ride he doesn't forget? Any of you here know what a hammerhead stall is? You know, a hammerhead stall is you dive the plane to the ground and then pull up real hard. So then you could, by that time, you're ready to wet your pants. You pull up real hard and it goes up so high and it can't go anymore and it just falls. And you let it fall and it'll go upside down and you come down diving toward the ground. And do that, one of these, and come back this way. But you're doing with 1,000 feet, but he thinks he's dying right now. So there's value in some of those treasures. But we want to watch out we don't lay all our treasures up here on earth. People begin to start to live like this was all there is to it. And that's the danger. It's not wrong to have treasures. But it's wrong when those treasures have you. Jesus taught there are rewards for those. And let there be no doubt there are diversified investments is essential. Can't have it all in one area. And the tendency for many people is forget there is a heaven where we're going to spend eternity. And let's consider some of those portfolios. So you know what I mean by portfolio? A collection of assets. So portfolio, number one, is treasures upon earth. And we must never make the mistake of thinking how we spend our money on earth is not important to God. Because did you catch that one word, our money? It's really God's money. Yeah. Just because it's on sale and it's a bargain price doesn't mean you need it. You can justify anything if you want to. Just because, I'm not here to pick on the ladies, but I asked my wife, just tell me how much it really costs. She started to give me the algebraic equation, how much this stuff costs at Kohl's. I thought, all right, it's 40% off the sale, plus I had a 20% coupon, plus I got Kohl's cash. And when she got through with this thing, I thought, where's my calculator? Just tell me what it really cost. But tendency is you buy things you really don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. That's the American dream. And so we lay our treasures up here on earth, and when it's all over with, you look out there and you say, well, it's a nice big monument he bought, but what's good is the rest of it? If you're not making a difference in eternity with the stewardship God gives you, then what are you doing? I remember some of you have been up in Virginia Beach, the Naval Air Station up there. You heard of Mount Trashmore? Anyone ever heard of Mount Trashmore? You have, right. Yeah, it's for real, right? It's where they piled all the garbage for years, decades. They piled garbage, made this big mountain of garbage, then they covered it all over and made it a park. I mean, a huge park up there. Now they call it Mount Trashmore. Beautiful view because it's right there along the coastline, but now you can see this mountain. And I looked at it and I said, that's not Mount Trashmore. And I said, yeah. I said, you know what that represents? That represents what people traded their time for. Because, you don't spend money, you spend time. You exchange money. Money is only a tool to exchange something. But you spend time and you'll never get that time back. So you give your time to your employer and then your employer gives you a medium of exchange. That's what money is, nothing more than a medium exchange. So when I look out there and I see this Mount Trashmore, that's what people have lived for and exchanged their life for. Whoa. When you start looking at that, life is too short to live it for a dump. And let's face it, most of the stuff we're going to have in our life, it's going to end up in a dump. You can't take it with you. You ever gone to a funeral and someone spent $15,000 for a casket and then they're burying it? I just, why? What good is it? So there are definite treasures upon earth, and it's important to God how we use our money. And having resources is not wrong. If God's blessed you and you I told someone the other day, I figured this out years ago. Some people making money was a hard thing to do. I found it real easy to make money. Real easy. I learned how to turn $20 bills into $6,000 bills. I did that for years. Now you're looking at me and say, is it honest? How'd you do that? It's so simple. If you put it right here, you wouldn't miss it. I looked at my mortgage payment. I was paying $500 a month, $6,000 a year. And I looked at that mortgage payment after the end of the first year, and $17 of that $6,000 went to the principal. Anyone ever had that shock? Yeah, I'm seeing some head nodding. So I looked at year number two. Or after the first year, then I looked at the second year when I got that statement. I looked at the second year and it said $20 for year number 29. I got 30-year mortgage, so year number 30, 17 went to the principal. Year number 29, $20 went to the principal. I sent him an extra $20. Now, did I just turn 20 into 6,000? Sure did. Because I don't have to make that payment. I just knocked off a whole year's worth of payments just by sending them $20. And then the next month, I looked there again, and oh, it's going to be $27. And so I sent them the next, and I did that for years like that. I looked at the next month's principal, or the next year's principal, and I sent that money in. Boy, that was really good. Then one year, we had a lot of kids. We took in kids, refugees, and so on. And that's a whole other story. But we are thankful that we did get a huge tax refund. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought $7,000 was a big refund. That $7,000, what do you think I did with that? I put it on the mortgage. And by putting $7,000 on the mortgage, it knocked off 9 years' worth of payments. Right? I mean, you got it. The math is clicking for somebody here today. I'm glad. It knocked off 9 years' worth of payments by putting that $7,000 refund on my mortgage. And I just saved $45,000. I don't like 30-year debt. If I got any debt like that, I want to get rid of it as fast as I can because it's taking money out of my pocket to put it in someone else's pocket. So I just knocked off that mortgage. It took us 7 years to pay that house off. Not because we had a whole lot of money, because I did something unconventional. I didn't listen to some unsaved accountant who said, "You don't have enough money to tithe, so you shouldn't tithe." Well, if you look at it when you're in ministry, how can you afford to tithe? He says, "How can you afford not to?" That's why I look at it. Because God's got the unseen paycheck. Yeah, God's got the unseen paycheck. And if you don't tithe, I said, if you fail to tithe, God will let you do the dumb thing. He'll let you get the speeding ticket. And I didn't get it, no. No, but God will let you do something like that. You know, when I say something, how to turn $20 bills into $6,000 bills, if you got a mortgage, there isn't anybody here who couldn't do that. But we never learned how. And so I just said, look, when I got that refund, $7,000, plop it on a mortgage. By the way, I saw last year on Fox Business News, and there's some guy late at night, he's got a British accent. What's it? Varney, is it? I don't know. But on the Fox Business Channel, they were showing, this is back around in April this past year, earlier this year, and he said the number one thing people use their tax refund is what? Someone said cars. Vacation is number three. Buying a car is number two. People tend to take their tax refund and use it for the down payment on their lease or fleece, whatever you want to call it. And that's what they do. They take their tax refund and put it down on a down payment. That's why you never buy a car in the spring, because prices do go up, because that's what people do, is they take their refund and make it a down payment on a car. So two, and number one, just take a wild guess. It's probably nothing what you ever thought, but the number one thing people use their tax refund for. You want to try a guess what that might be? Television. No. Anyone else? All right, you're looking. You don't believe this. Alcohol consumption. They say, oh, I got $200 refund, $400, $500 refund, what it is. And they say, let's go out to eat tonight. And they go out and spend $100 on a meal with all the alcohol and something like that. Hey, you go to Olive Garden, you could do that on a Friday night. Get the big meal for you, one for your wife, and then spend $50, $60 on alcohol. And it doesn't take long. You do that two or three weekends in a row, and the money's gone. That's the number one thing people use their tax refund for. You know what? I want to lay some treasures up in heaven. So I took my tax refund, paid off the mortgage. Now that I don't have a mortgage, now I can put a whole lot more money into buying tracks. Reaching others and supporting missionaries, doing something that makes a difference. So treasures on earth, it's not wrong to have money. And we never make the mistake of thinking that how we spend money doesn't matter to God. Having resources is not wrong, but it's when those resources to have you. And I find out the more you have, the more it starts to have you. I've been a financial advisor for 34 years now. And the number one thing people are concerned about when they invest money, whether it's with me or any other broker, is, am I going to lose it? And all of a sudden, you stop, you get to the emotion of investing money, the emotional curve of investing. You know what the emotional curve is? Greed will say, oh, you made how much? 20%. Or like I just said, I know how to make 60% one time. Yeah, took the $7,000, turned it into $60,000 savings without putting anything in the market. But I found that, sometimes someone comes to me and a guy comes to me and he says, look, I got $1 million sitting in my checking account. This really happened. He said, what would you buy? And I said, Ford Motor Company got down to $1.60. It's up to $2 right now. And it used to be over $40. This was in 2008 when he asked me that. And I said, it was over 40. And Ford Motor Company is financially the strongest motor vehicle company here in the U.S. or perhaps even in the world. And they had, why were they so financially strong? They said they sold Volvo truck. Volvo was, my wife said, that's a Swedish car. No, it's owned by China now. It's a Chinese car. But Ford sold Volvo to China, and China made Volvo very rich right in 2008. And if you sold just the assets that Ford had, you would have come up with far more than $2. If it went bankrupt and sold everything off, they'd still come up better than $2. So I told this guy, I said, why don't you go in there and buy some Ford stock at $2? Because it was up to 40. I don't know, what is it now? $15, $16, somewhere around there. And it does pay a dividend. And so he wasn't laughing anymore. He took $1 million and bought 500,000 shares. And within 4 years, of 2008 by 2012, it was up to that 16. It got up to 17, and he got greedy, and he sold it at 12. So figure $1 million, it went from 2 to 12. That's 600% on $1 million. That's $6 million he made. And by the way, I'll say this, he gave it all away to churches, to plant churches. Amen. Yeah, I'm not doing this to get me rich. I'm over there saying I've got treasures in heaven just because I can take some just common sense stuff. But most people will be driven when they invest. With your 401k plan, your tendency is to let fear govern you or let greed take over. And when you come to investing with something like that, don't look at what it did last month. Yeah, we had a bad month. The rumor is the interest rates go up. Now the rumor is the interest rates are going to go down. They had the trade deal with China. Now we know they're not going to have the trade deal. You know, and if you invest in all the things that Trump says, you're really going to be messed up. Just invest by some biblical principle. Consistency, and don't let greed get in there. Don't let emotions are a terrible, terrible master. And when you invest with emotions, you can get in trouble every time. I asked the guy down in Florida, I said, how come you put it over here in a money market account? It's only paying 0.2%. He said, I don't want to lose my money. I said, well, there's a whole lot out there. There's a website called bankrate.com. Might want to write that one. Bankrate.com. That website lists all the banks across the United States. And it tells you what their interest rates are. There are many of them out there paying 2.5% to 3%. Can we say we're paying 3%? Because I remember when it was 15%. But yeah, there are many of them out there paying 2.5% and 3%. So what are you sitting on? 0.2%. Well, is it safe? Hey, look, go over there and put it in this thing. It's FDIC insured. Or go to a credit union. It doesn't have FDIC insured, but it's member owned, and the members are going to make sure it's taken care of. So look around, look at some of the other places to go invest, but don't let your emotions get control of your finances. I've seen people who could have done a whole lot more let fear come in. And now everyone knows the answer. I'm looking for the youngest person here who probably got the answer here. Do you buy when it's high or do you buy when it's low? Low. And when do you sell? When it's high. When you let fear get in, what happens? You sell when it's low, and then greed will get you back to back in and say, I should have never sold it, and you buy when it's high again. You're going to lose every time. Now, this is economics 101, kindergarten. Buy low, sell high. Even my granddaughter knows that one. And yet, we tend to see and let emotions take over. You say, why are you doing all this investing? Because I believe the Bible teaches the children are not to lay up for the parents, but the parents are to lay up for the children. Now you say, where do you get that? Well, let's start with the prodigal son. There's a perfect example, because in a Jewish home, the government is not to take care of you. In a Jewish home, the parents were to put enough aside, and so the firstborn son got a double portion of the inheritance. And the secondborn son in that story of the prodigal son, you know, the first home, firstborn liked home, and the secondborn left home. And so the Second born, he got his portion, his one third. I'm seeing there's just two of them. So the firstborn gets a double portion. The secondborn son gets a single portion. And he went into the far country, and what did he do? What did the father say to the son who liked home? He said, all that I have is still thine. Why? Because the son who liked home got pretty upset. He thought he was going to have to split his double portion with his brother who just came back home. And he was upset. And dad says, it's still yours. It's still yours. And so I believe it's not the government's job to take care of you when you retire. Now, if you got Social Security, it's supposed to be an annuity payment. When you buy into Social Security, it's an annuity payment, but we're all finding out it's a Ponzi scheme because it's a Ponzi scheme. It's got Ronald Reagan said 2030, it'll be broke. Well, I think there's a group out there that's got a plan how to not to make it broke, open our borders up. And get more people working at minimum wage so you can get more money for Social Security to keep some of us keep going on that. Social Security is never meant to be 100% of your retirement, by the way. At most, maybe 60%. I tell people, plan on 40%. 40% of your retirement. So you take the pie here, how much you got saved up and your house paid off and so on, and that's only about 40%. But what are we going to do by 2030? Or whatever a year it's going to go, but somewhere we already know there's no $2 trillion out there to cover this thing, anyways. And so they inflate the dollars and think you got something. I believe that it's not the government's responsibility. It's my responsibility to take care of me. Hello, someone else? Amen. And when the government takes care of you, tell me the government can do a better job than private enterprise. Can a government do a better job than I could do on my own? But see, a lot of people don't want to put money aside, and they figure Social Security is already going to be there. We've been told for over 30 years, haven't we, preacher? Us older folks here, Social Security people here today, we've been told it's going broke. And I'd say, well, I might get part of it someday. But we know it's going there. And it used to be volunteer. I didn't volunteer. I've signed out. I look at that thing, and like a lot of us guys at Bob Jones did back then, we signed out of the thing and said, we're not going to be part of this Ponzi scheme. And we signed out, but you know what? A lot of them never put a cent away since then. Yeah, that's a sad part because know what they want? I find a lot of people are looking for the government to take care of you. If we did it the biblical way, the firstborn son takes care of mom and dad. And mom and dad put money aside so the firstborn son would take over the family farm or whatever and take care of mom and dad. But what I am seeing, and you're seeing this, Dr. Valerie, where can we hide our money so the government doesn't take our money? How many of you have heard somebody say that? Where can I hide it? Yeah, I've heard that. Where can I hide it so the government doesn't take it? The government doesn't take your money. But if you want to go to the government nursing home and you only get $800 a month coming in for Social Security and it costs $5,000 for you to be in that nursing home, hey, when you're dead and gone, then hey, someone needs to pay that. And it's not going to be me who didn't go to the nursing home or the rest of you didn't go there. It ought to come from where? From your assets. But I find parents out there, how can we hide our money and how can we put a house in someone else's name so the government doesn't get it? In other words, stick me in a state nursing home and let the government get it. Well, the kids get mom and dad's house and sell it off when they should have been paying the debt that mom and dad incurred. Ooh, it's quiet here now. You ever heard someone do that? I've seen it many, many times. I'm going to be... Yeah, I'm not making friends here. When my mother went into one of those state nursing homes, I'm not saying they're all bad, but she had nothing. My dad, six kids, career army, got out, bought a bar, and drank. And grandma moved in. Now there's nine of us in a two-bedroom apartment in the inner city. We just didn't have it. So when mother got to the point where she was 89 years old and just couldn't take care of herself anymore, well, she didn't know where she was. You got that far. Well, she had a bad fall one day. And remember the old shag carpeting? She tripped on that shag carpeting, hit her head on the dresser, and she was in la-la land. Had no way to take care of herself. So my brother went to the state, and the state said, well, there's a real nice nursing home over here, right next to Jonathan Edwards Church, where Jonathan Edwards grew up. And so we took her over there, and they said, she's got too much money. What do you mean she's got too much money? She has over $10,000 in her checkbook. She's only allowed to have $2,000. And the lady in the nursing home said, go and pay for her funeral now and come back Monday and show us that we've spent that money, and therefore she has only $2,000 and the government will take her in. Now that sounds nice. But whose responsibility is it? I think the families ought to take care of each other. But we're seeing the destruction of the American family, aren't we? When you can't figure out if you're male or female, boy, we got a destruction of the American family. And so now the families don't want to take care of the kids, and then, you know, then we got states after states who want to murder the kids. Make us worse than Hitler ever was in this country. And, you know, we're seeing that. I'm saying that I ought to pay for my own expenses. When my son-in-law came to my house, and before they were married, he was going to ask the big question. I knew it was coming. You know, Dad's ever been there? You know, and he's going to ask me if he can marry my daughter. He came into the house, and I have a little office off to the side, and I got a few brag buttons on the wall, and one of them is the... It's a real deal Marine Corps sword. And he got up there and picked it off the wall. And, you know, like men do, they put their fingernails, see how sharp it is? Yeah. And he was looking at that sword. And I grabbed that sword. And I said, let me show you something about that sword. Here, let me show you. And I stuck it right here on his throat. Point right there on his throat. I said, get on your knees now. Well, what kind of guy am I marrying into? And my daughter, she knew I was clowning around and having fun, but he didn't know that. And so she's like, please don't hurt her, please. He's going on and carrying on, acting up. And I yelled at her and I said, you get on your knees too, both of you. Then I looked at him and I stuck that sword right there and I said, now promise me, if you marry my daughter, you will not stick me in a nursing home someday. That was tough on him. It's tough letting your daughter go away, but I had to make him think he was going to get hurt. We're having fun. We're having fun anyways. But that's what the biblical plan to take care of your children. The parents are not to lay up. The parents are to lay up for the children. And not the state takes care of you. Earthly treasures, let's quickly go down. Portfolio one is earth, treasures upon earth, and it's important to God. Having resources is not enough. It's wrong when those resources have us. Earthly treasures depreciate. They do go down in value. And earthly treasures take constant vigilance. I bought a motorhome one year. Boy, talk about depreciation. It went way down once you drive it off the floor, it's gone down. And then it takes constant vigilance. It's always got something getting loose or getting repaired. And then earthly treasures can desensitize you. You can get where you have so much that you look down at other people who don't have. Or I see this. When I see somebody on the street corner with a sign, "Will work for food," or "Hungry, please help," you could get to where you think every one of those are worthless people. Because you've got a little bit, and then you look down at them. The fact is, when if you go out there and get the statistics out there from the federal government or wherever you want to get those statistics at, they're saying over half of those people with signs out there are veterans. And read the sign, some of them give you the name, rank, where they served, and the time they served. I don't want to get so hard that I get callous towards someone like that. I don't ever give them money. But I've been known to drive through a McDonald's and get a Happy Meal and go toot the horn and give them a Happy Meal. Give them something to eat. Any man sees his brother in need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So I'm not going to go give them money so they can go buy drugs, but I might get them something to eat. Earthly treasures, constant vigilance can desensitize you. Earthly treasures don't go with you to heaven. You can't take it with you. Earthly treasures can drive you to do things you do not want to do. They can drive you to do things you don't want to do. And I said, example, cheating on your income tax. I asked the guy, "How much? I got this thing over here. It says Goodwill." "Yeah, I got a Goodwill receipt there." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I gave away my bedroom set, and they put $800 down on there." I looked at him and I said, "I know you better than that. If you got $800 for that bedroom set, you wouldn't have given it away. You would have sold it in the garage sale or something." "Well, the guy put it down, so I'm going to take it." No. Be honest. Tendency is that people are dishonest. And I love the new tax stuff because it got rid of a whole lot of dishonest stuff that people could have took. They took away a whole lot of deductions, but they got rid of the dishonesty. Earthly treasures can drive you to do things you don't want to do. Earthly treasures do not satisfy. Satisfaction comes from within, not with what is on the outside. And earthly treasures are doomed to ultimate destruction. All of this thing is going to be what? We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. It's all going to be gone. And then portfolio number two here. Treasures in heaven. There are six things our Heavenly Father will encourage us that we begin to give to God. And here are the six things. Heavenly investments appreciate. Heavenly investments appreciate. Heavenly investments are cared for by someone else. Heavenly investments continue for eternity. They don't just buy them and 5 years later put them in a dump. They continue forever. And I think we just had a funeral last week. One of our relatives passed away, 92 years old. Three generations of preachers in his family. That's heavenly treasures. Heavenly investments cause God to be pleased. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Heavenly investments create joy in the body of Christ. And heavenly investments certify your passion in life. What are you passionate about? And heavenly investments certify that passion of winning souls. And on the end here, we're out of time already. The principle of the desire. The first word is desire. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The principle of desire, where is your heart? And the principle of direction. Where are you headed? If you always do what you always have done, you're always going to get what you always got. Why are you complaining about what you got when you're not changing? And then number three, the principle of decision. What are you going to do now? If you need to make some changes, start now. Because someone who put off to tomorrow something they should do today, they'll keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So what are you going to do? The principle of decision. Let's pray and ask God now to bless. Help us, Father, Lord, to grasp this material. Help us to apply it and assimilate it in our own life that we might be better stewards, that we might be able to invest more in treasures in heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.